Brother Burns and welcoming everyone here. Your presence is greatly appreciated, especially our visitors. We'd like for you to know that you are our honored guest and that we'd like for you to come back any chance you can. As was announced, I am not the normal speaker here at Eastside. Brother Klein is speaking at Hickory Heights this morning. We hope that his meeting he'll be holding this week will be as successful as the week we had with Brother Chandler. When I agreed to Brother Burns to speak this morning, I had no idea I would be following such a wonderful speaker in Greg Chandler. And I did tell him that I would try not to extinguish any of the momentum or fire that we had gained from him being here over the past week. But I do hope you'll follow along with me this morning as we study from God's Word. And hopefully something will be said this morning that will encourage you in some way. Have you ever had something reserved for you? It's a really good feeling, isn't it? You don't have to worry or stress or hurry to obtain the object that you're trying to get. You just have to show up because you have the assurance of a reservation. Instead of getting there early and fighting with a crowd or standing in line, you just walk up and take what's been reserved for you. Many times in weddings, the first few rows will be reserved for family so they can be closest to the event. Or in a parking lot, there may be a sign with your name on it that will be closer to the entrance. That's nice to think about, but for the most part, that's not a reality for most of us. I'm more familiar with the hassle of driving around and trying to find a place to park, usually much further from the entrance. Or at a restaurant, standing and waiting until a table becomes available. Most of us have to make special effort to make sure that we have a place anywhere that we go. Maybe even call ahead, leave early, or even have an option B in case option A doesn't work out. But let's take it a step further. Let's say that you thought you had a reservation somewhere, only to find out when you got there that you didn't have a place. Once Rachel and I decided to take a vacation, I decided to buy a cruise for us to go on. And we did everything we were supposed to do. We registered for the cruise. We filled out all the documents. We got our plane tickets. We flew down to Florida and we went to the port to board the ship. We walked up to the desk and we handed the lady at the desk all the documents that we had. And she took the documents and she looked at them. And then she left and she came back holding a piece of paper telling us that they didn't have a place for us. We had been chosen to be put on a waiting list and hopefully they would find something for us. We were shocked. We had made all these plans and done all these things that we were required to do, but we didn't have a place. This is just one instance where this has happened in our life. A reservation is no good unless the person giving the reservation follows through with it. And a reservation cannot be obtained unless the promised party does the necessary things to receive it, like showing up on time. In John 14, Jesus is telling his disciples that he is going to prepare a place for them. He tells them he'll return and they'll be together again. He goes on to tell them that they know the place to where he is going. This implies that they have to do something to be able to obtain this place that he's preparing for them. And in the Bible, we see a lot of examples of where people are asking, what must I do to be saved? Or what must I do to inherit eternal life? We know the Bible tells us that we have to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And then we have to live as faithful Christians for the rest of our lives. That's what I want to talk about this morning, is as we live as faithful Christians, it seems like there's so many commandments that we're commanded to do. Sometimes it can feel like it's a little bit overwhelming. But there's a few commandments that I believe you can look at that overlap and complement so many of the other commandments that God gives us that it can help us serve God and take our place in heaven. The first thing I'd like to talk about is we have to love God. If you would, please turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. We'll be reading through verse 28. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And with all your mind, love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. So this should be pretty easy for us to do, right? This is the same God that sent His Son to die on the cross for us when we didn't deserve that. But I feel like sometimes love is one of the most overused words in the English language. A lot of you have probably heard me say that I love Chinese food, but I would not sacrifice myself for Chinese food like I would for my family or my children. Love is something that includes so much more than just saying the words. Love involves a lot of sacrifice. If you talk to anyone who's been married for an extended period of time and you ask them, what is the key to having such a successful marriage? Most of the time, 9 times out of 10, I would say, that those people would say that selflessness is the most important thing in a marriage. This is looking past someone else's, looking past your own desires and setting those aside and trying to help the one that you love obtain their wishes and their desires. But love is not, it's not always going to be easy to love God. We could look at Job as an example. Job was a very blessed man. Yeah, very wealthy. God speaks of Job as an upright man who shunned evil. He even mentions him to Satan when he talks about Job, saying that there are none like him on the earth. Well, we know how the story goes. Job he lost all of his sons and all of his daughters, all of his sheep, camel, all of his oxen, his donkeys were even gone. And the attack on him was very, very well planned. Not one person came up to Job telling him all this stuff had happened. But before one messenger could stop speaking, another messenger came to him and told him something else. And then another messenger came to him. So it was very well planned. But we look at how Job responded to all this. I could not imagine how I would respond if these type of things happened to me and my family. But Job worshiped God, and he did not charge God with wrong. Then his own health was stricken from him. So as Job was already going through all of these other things, his health was taken from him. His friends come to him and tell him that he needs to repent of whatever he's done wrong so that God will stop punishing him. So even his friends kind of turned on him. He was almost completely alone. But Job loved God, and he knew that God loved him as well. Sometimes in life when we're tested, we will have to depend on that love for God for us to make the right decisions. And for us to make decisions that will help us remove us from those instances. This point I put first to loving God is because it does make our sacrifices to God easier. If you love someone, you naturally kind of distance yourself from things that they dislike. But it says in the Bible that God hates sin. So if we love God, we should more easily distance ourselves from sinning. When we as Christians love God, we see how other things in the Bible that we're commanded to do become easier to follow. Once I took a productivity class for a company that I worked for. And in this class, they talked about a lot of things to improve your productivity. One thing they talked about was employees' attitudes and how it affected the work environment and how the work environment affected the productivity of all the employees there. And they asked us to take a look at the screen that they had up there. They had a lot of positive character traits listed. And they wanted all of us to choose 4 character traits that we would try to work on and try to improve ourselves every day. They want us to take the list that we made and put it in the top drawer of our desk. Every day come in and open the drawer and look at that list and try to strive that day to be the person that we described on our list. I'd even heard in employee evaluations, they would ask you to bring your list with you and grade you on each one of the things that you had chosen to see how you were progressing. As I looked at this list, I noticed that loving was one of the traits that they had listed, and it made me think of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you would, please turn there with me now. First Corinthians chapter 13, we'll start reading in verse 4. We'll read through verse 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. But where there are prophets, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. And where there is knowledge, it will pass away. So I have a list here of similar to the one that we had there on the screen behind me. Loving is not on this list, but this is just kind of an example of some of the traits that they had asked us to choose from. And as the passages that we just read, you see all of the traits that love is associated with. So if I choose to be loving, I can eliminate so many other things on the list that maybe we feel like might be an overwhelming list. So by doing that, by choosing loving, I was choosing that I was going to be courteous, cooperative, and considerate. Because a loving person would already be those things, right? Next thing I'd like to talk about is that we need to educate ourselves. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 tells us to study to show yourself approved. Anything that you want to obtain in life, you have to do something to obtain it. God tells us to keep His commandments. All we have to do is do that, right? The only way that we can keep His commandments is if He communicates to us what those commandments are. And He does that through the Bible. He gives us the Bible so that we can read the Bible and look at examples so we can know Him, so we can study the Bible and be able to serve Him. A few years ago, I was working with in Madison County with a couple of different inspection departments. And they had just upgraded their codes to meet national energy codes. And as we worked in a couple of different areas, we worked with a couple of different departments. And these departments had all interpreted this code change in a different way. So you go out to a job and you start a job and you have an inspection, or they come out and they fail you and they tell you how to do it right. Well, then you go to another part of the county and you have another department comes out and inspects it. And they fail you and tell you to do it the way you did it the time before. So what we had to do is we had to learn what each department expected of us when we were doing these things, and communicate with them and learn what they wanted. So then we kind of have to do this with God. He gives us the Bible to read and to study, and we use the examples that He gives us, and we're able to learn what God wants us to do. I know God wants us to study His Word and follow it properly. We see many times in the Bible where God gives commandments to people and they don't follow them exactly, and He hands out punishment to them accordingly. So how well do you know God? How much are you studying your Bible? God wants us, we have to read our Bibles to know Him. If we do not know Him, then how can we love Him? God's commandments are easily known. God does not speak in secret. You do not have to be an intelligent person to be able to interpret the Bible. And there is no painful initiation or fee for you to join God's church. His commandments are easy for us to keep, are easily followed. In 1 John 5:3, He says His commandments are not burdensome for us. As I talked earlier, a lot of His commandments complement each other, which makes them easier to follow. God gives us plenty of motivation to keep His commandments. He has given us inspirational examples in the Bible to encourage us. Romans 15:4 says, "These things are written for our learning, that through patience we might have hope." In Hebrews chapter 11, we read about the faith of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob. All of these stories of these people are put in the Bible for us to read and for us to keep the faith that we need to take our place in heaven. He has given us the greatest goal in heaven to strive for. All we have to do is be obedient to Him. God provides us with all the assistance that we need to keep His commandments. Many times when men pray here, they pray for the wonderful avenue of prayer that we have, that we're able to use to communicate with God. James 1:5 tells us that if anyone is lacking in wisdom, to go to God and ask Him for wisdom, and He will give to him liberally. He gives us each other, our brothers and sisters in Christ. If we have things that we need help with, we can go to each other. Brother Chandler last week talked a little bit about how we're stronger together as brothers and sisters. We're more likely to consistently keep God's commandments if we rely on each other to be strong. God also commands us to be converted as a little child. If you would, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, we'll be reading verses 1 through 5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked Him, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." So Jesus earlier had told us that he's going to prepare a place for us in heaven. Many times we sing songs talking about mansions on hilltops or these kind of things. Maybe a lot of times people who knew they had that type of ending coming, they might puff their chest out and be proud. But we have to remember that is not the type of person that God wants us to be. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to be able to talk to people about God. If we're not humble, then people are less likely to talk to us. This past week was the NBA draft. And a lot of young men made a lot of money in this draft this past week. But something that's always fascinated me about the draft is that the young men are interviewed and they're drilled mentally and physically before the draft happens. And you hardly ever see any of these guys talk about how much money they're going to make or how much better they are as a player than anybody else is. And these are super competitive people. You would think that would be a lot of what's on their mind, right? But you never hear them talk about these type of things. I heard once that they actually hire personality coaches to help them appear to be more humble when they're doing these interviews. And why is that? Why would they care about this trait so much? The hay's in the barn, right? They've already shown all these teams that might be wanting to draft them what they're able to do on the basketball court. They've got hundreds of tape films that they can watch of this player playing. They've got hundreds of film of them even working out that they could look at. But these teams are concerned about their humility. The reason is humility is the number one trait of a leader. Leadership is not power. There is no need for dominance to lead someone. What it takes is influence. And influence is the ability to motivate someone on a personal level. The NFL teams are looking for people, or the NBA teams are looking for people who are leaders. And these players have been coached to show that. I'm sorry, I'm a little behind on my slide here. Being humble is a powerful trait. It can help us develop other areas of our character as well as these other things we've talked about this morning. If we're humble, then we will naturally be more thoughtful. When others see these traits in us, they will appreciate the fact that we're not overshadowing or trying to dominate people. It makes us more approachable and in turn helps us to be able to talk to more people about God. Jesus came into this earth born into a humble setting. He grew up to be a humble man. Imagine if Jesus was born into a situation where he was maybe a king or something like that. He would point and have this person do this for him, or he would point and have this person worship him. That's not how he was meant to influence people. He influenced people by being a leader. He influenced people by drawing a crowd because of the loving works that he would do for people. James 4:10 tells us to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. 1 Peter 5:16 says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Matthew 23:12 reads, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." The Bible puts a lot of emphasis on us being humble, and we must be humble to take our place in heaven. Now, this has not been a lesson that we have studied a complete list of the commandments that God has asked us to do, as we talked about earlier. But a lot of these commandments do overlap other things and other character traits that we as Christians should be exemplifying on a daily basis. But how great is it that we have someone who's going to prepare a place for us? And how great is it that person that is preparing these things we can depend on? Heaven is going to be there, and all we have to do is do the things that we have been commanded, and we will have our place in heaven. There may be those here this morning who have not done what they needed to do to take their place in heaven. And there may be those who have done that and have fallen away. We would ask if there's anything that we can do for you. We're here to help. We would beg you that you correct that this morning. But if we can help you, please come as we stand and sing.